From Hollywood, it's the Tom Likas Show.
For everyone out there that disagrees, change the channel. You're not worth it.
And now, here he is, Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where America gets together to talk about the issues you really care about. It's a different kind of a radio talk program. We're the radio talk show that is not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon. No! I am your host. Write down our telephone number. You're going to need it. It's 1-800-5800-TOM. 1-800-5800-866. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our program. Here we are together again on the radio. Well, you've been hearing the drunk drivers calling in, and you've been hearing the people who are all upset about it. And finally, you know, you can only take so much of that. You know, it's one, you know, you think of a drunk driver, you think of some guy who went out to a bar and he had a few too many, got in the car and he needed to get himself home. And we get the people who take that extra step. They're mixing drinks on the front seat. They've got, that one guy had 15 beers. He's had four DUIs. He had 15 cans of Bud Light sitting in the back seat. One in the cup holder. That's right. We had a teacher. We had a police officer driving drunk. I mean, there are no words to describe all of this. But that's the way it is. So we know there are many of you out there who are boozing. Boozing and cruising. And some of you are... Some of you are aware of the existing laws. I would suspect many of you are not aware of what you might be letting yourself in for. But our guest knows all about that because his name is Miles L. Berman, and he is an attorney whose specialty is DUI law in the state of California. It's good to see you, Miles.
Good to be here, Tom. Good to see you again.
Well, here we are, another holiday season, and some more drunks calling it. Did you hear that?
I was listening to the show. Your screener is excellent.
And, oh yes,
and the calls
if a
were
little, if a little dense, but as you know, he's Italian, so you have to excuse him.
I'll leave that alone. But yes, I was listening to the show on the way in and while I was here. Very, very interesting bunch of callers you had, Tom.
Now, what can we learn from all of that? I'm still absorbing it. What can we learn from that?
You know, I don't think there's anything that people are going to learn. You know, it's obviously nobody wants people drinking and driving. It it does pose a serious danger, but you know, until there's prohibition, this is going to happen. It's as simple as that.
It seems to me, though, that on the one hand, they say they want to cut down on drunk driving, and they run all these threatening public service announcements. They even buy commercials threatening us. The cops are cracking down. They're coming to get you. And by the same token, it seems to me there are people who get out there and keep doing it over and over and over. I mean, I'm seeing stories about guys who've had four, like the guy who called in, had four DUIs, 2 years in prison. He's out driving drunk again. Some people have had 10, 12, 15 DUIs. Like, it seems to me on the one hand, they say they want to cut down on drunk driving. But on the other hand, it seems to me that this system they've created of charging people fees and fines and then charging them to go to alcohol re-education classes, that's a very profitable business for the states. Why would they want to just say, all right, you're getting 5 years in prison, that's it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a big business for the state, all states, and especially in California. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. But the good news is that the callers that you were talking about, where, you know, four or five DUIs, been to prison, that's a very small percentage of the people who actually drink and drive. The overwhelming majority of people who get arrested for DUI are first-time offenders. Alleged first-time offenders.
Well, yes. And the bottom line on that is, well, I have a feeling a lot of people have no idea how little alcohol it takes to be considered in that realm of a DUI.
Well, yes, you're now also getting to another area that I call voodoo science. Each drink, one 4-ounce glass of wine, one 12-ounce can of beer, and one shot, which is an ounce and a quarter of 80-proof hard liquor, equals a .02. So you can have four in your system. Generally speaking, you're at a .08. The problem is that the state uses these portable breath test machines and any kind of breath test machine, which is based on voodoo science. So it doesn't even take three or four to get caught up in this web. It can take, two or three or even less. And you have a false reading this show, and the government thinks that you're a .08 or greater under the influence of alcohol.
So if somebody is pulled over and they do increase the patrols, they do increase the checkpoints at this time of year, and we all know that here in Southern California. All right, so you're pulled over, and it might be because you're driving funny, or it might be because
you're driving. It's almost impossible to drive without doing something wrong.
You're driving a red car. We all know that there's all kinds of reasons people get pulled over. Let's say you've had a few. What do you say to the officer?
Well, people don't have to tell the officer where they're coming from or where they're going to. It takes a strong constitution for a person to actually stand on their rights. But people have to be aware that there's an excellent chance they're going to be audiotaped. They're going to be videotaped. So what they say and how they conduct themselves, there's a good chance it's going to be recorded. Not to mention the officer is free to write down whatever the officer wants to write down after the arrest occurred and they fill out the paperwork. But the most important thing is always be polite.
Now, when you are polite with an officer, this is a very threatening situation. I mean, look, in your head, when you've had two beers and you left the office party, you think, I'm guilty. Here are those lights in my rearview mirror. Oh, God, they could tell I'm drunk. I'm guilty. And I think a lot of people just throw themselves at the mercy of the officer. They just say, I just had a couple of beers, officer. Or they'll get out and they'll do the sobriety checks or the sobriety tests or whatever. But really, what should people do in a situation like that?
Well, you're absolutely right that it becomes a surreal experience. They don't have to do any of the field sobriety exercises. I call them exercises because they aren't really tests. I've never seen anybody driving down the street with their eyes closed and their head tilted back or counting on their fingers 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, or even touching their finger to nose while they're driving. So, a person does not have to tell the officer where they're coming from, where they're going to, how much they've had to drink, when they drank, where they drank. And they don't have to do the field sobriety test, especially if they're older than 21, and definitely do not take a portable breath test before somebody gets arrested.
Don't people frequently just cop to saying, oh, officer, I had a couple of beers?
Yes, most people do say that they had something to drink. I mean, a high percentage of people say they had something to drink. And,
should they not say that?
Well, if they don't say anything, I mean, you don't want to, I don't want to tell people they should lie to a police officer, so I'm not going to say that. But I will say that they don't have to tell the officer the information that the officer is looking for in order to not only arrest the person, but prosecute them or help prosecute them in court.
So, how do you handle this? I mean, the officer's going, again, the officer's in a power position. He's got a weapon. You're scared. You did something you shouldn't have done. What do you say?
Well, it's not against the law to drink and drive. I mean, people have to understand that. We've heard, we've been hearing this in the media and on television for years, don't drink and drive. And that's just not the law, but people are conditioned to think that way. But when you're in that particular situation, the best thing to do is to say as little as possible. And, don't answer those questions that you don't have to, that you're not legally obligated to answer. Basically, you need to show your license and registration. But pretty much anything beyond that, you don't have to cooperate with the police officer. Now, they may end up arresting you and they may end up taking you to jail. But, there's a good chance that that's going to happen anyway. So why give them more evidence that they're going to use to prosecute you?
And but again, I think that people don't. I have the experience of having been through depositions. You know, I've been sued. I've had to deal with being in court. I've had to testify on a witness stand. I think a lot of people say too much. I don't just mean in a case like that. I mean just in general, whether they're in a deposition or wherever they are. Every attorney I ever had said, say as little as possible. Say nothing if you can get away with it. Let everybody else talk. Give very brief answers. Don't be helpful. Would that apply to being pulled over on suspicion of DUI?
Well, yeah. I think when somebody's being investigated for DUI, you know, less is better. I mean, there's no question about that. And, you know, if you start volunteering information, the officer knows that they're in a position of power and a position of authority. And at that very moment, the only thing that's separating you and freedom is that officer. And they know it. And they're trained. More often than not, they don't even have to do anything other than just stand there and be there in order to assert their authority. But yes, you're absolutely right. The less information a suspect gives a police officer, the better off they will be. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that we can't win cases. Of course, we can win cases when police officers ask a whole slew of questions and people answer every single one of those questions. You haven't asked I know you're building up to it, and I know it's coming, so we might as well deal with it now. After you're arrested in California, you have a choice of a blood or a breath. And in California, a breath test is two samples. So here's how I answer that question. Both breath and blood are not completely reliable, especially when the way the state collects the evidence. Now, breath test machines are less reliable than blood results, but blood results also have problems as well. As far as whether or not you should take it, I can't say somebody should refuse to take a blood test or a breath test because the law requires them to take that. But on the other hand, the law also, if somebody has, when we get our driver's licenses, this is where it comes up, we consent to take a breath or a blood test when we get arrested. People can withdraw that consent. And so again, the evidence against somebody without a chemical test, a breath or a blood test, will be less. But on the other hand, if there is a conviction, the penalties can be greater, both within court, in court and with the DMV.
So, okay, if you refuse to take it, again, I think people feel threatened. And frankly, they may feel their faculties are a bit reduced. Maybe they feel they're more reduced than they actually are because they're afraid and they're in a position where they feel threatened. You know, do officers have techniques to try to intimidate you or force you to do this?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. It's a great question. There are some jurisdictions where they'll actually, if a person refuses to take a breath or a blood test, there are some jurisdictions, not just in California throughout the country, but especially in California, especially in Southern California, where we've seen where the officers actually hold the person down and they call in a nurse. I called their nurse Ratchet at a trial once, and the judge didn't appreciate that. But they'll call in a nurse and stick a needle in the arm and withdraw the blood.
Really?
Yeah, and it happens. It happens on a regular basis, but it doesn't happen to everybody all the time. Yeah, I mean, this is what we've gone to. This is where we've come from. And the test is that whether or not does a blood draw shock the conscience of the courts? And courts have routinely ruled that these types of blood draws don't shock the conscience of the court.
And before we take this break here, we're talking to Miles L. Berman, who is an attorney who specializes in drunk driving. And Miles has been on our show over the years many, many times. Does anybody get off the hook? Do pretty girls get off the hook? Is there a way you can talk to a police officer? I know people who've told me point blank, they said, I was drunk. There's no doubt I was drunk. I got pulled over, and the officer said, hey, just go home, be careful. And what are the reasons for that?
You know, I can't say that we've had cases like that because they ended up not getting arrested.
Of
but
course.
I have heard stories where, like yourself, like you just said, that people are able to sometimes talk their way out of a DUI. But it also is, as more time goes on, I'm hearing less and less of that. But yes, it does happen, obviously.
And I was just wondering if there's a technique. Maybe there's a police officer out there who can answer that. Of course, they probably won't want to answer that question. But I'm wondering, like, who are these people besides pretty girls? I understand pretty girls They do get that kind of advantage in life.
I would describe them as very lucky people. Because getting a DUI, it can absolutely devastate a person's life. I mean, the penalties are so severe. I've been talking about it for years to make decriminalize most first offense DUI cases. But, you know, you get convicted of a DUI, you can lose your job, you lose your license, you lose your livelihood, you lose your ability to continue to support your family. It's a terrible thing to have to go through. So, you know,
it costs you a fortune.
Yes, it could. For over the years, you've tried to get me to talk about my fees, and I've always tried to dance.
We haven't gotten to your fees. Just your insurance alone.
Yes, the insurance. We've been told that insurance can increase anywhere between $15,000 to $25,000 over the next 3, 5 to 7 years once somebody's convicted of DUI. And as a matter of fact, DUIs now stay on your record for 10 years. It used to be 5, then 7, then they tried to change it to lifetime, and then 2 or 3 years ago they compromised and said, no, it's going to stay on your record for 10 years. However, I believe it's going to go to lifetime within the next few years. It wouldn't surprise me if they change a lot of lifetime.
Just an extraneous question here. Does that somehow turn up on your credit rating or like your FICO score or something like that?
Yes, you know, DUIs affect all aspects of life, and in credit reports, we're seeing hearing stories where DUI convictions are coming up in credit reports. Job searches, when people do interviews and go through background checks, DUIs come up. For professionals, if they're looking for insurance through whatever, you know, doctors, lawyers, whatever profession requires, malpractice insurance, insurance companies inquire whether or not there's a DUI conviction. I mean, and I'm sure there's people out there who know exactly what I'm talking about who's had a DUI conviction and it ended up following them for the rest of their lives.
Miles L. Berman is our guest. You may have questions about what happens if you get pulled over, in case you get pulled over, nabbed in one of these dragnets they have out there, one of those checkpoints for DUIs. Maybe you've gotten nailed. Maybe you're afraid of getting nailed. Who knows? Maybe you're not even drunk at all when you get. But that, by the way, that did happen to me once, and I talked about it in one of your commercials many years ago. I got pulled over. And I took every sobriety test, and they kept me there for about 45 minutes chatting with me. Finally, they said, you're not drunk. And the guy handed me his business card. The police officer handed me a business card, writing down that I'd already taken all the tests, that I'm not drunk, and that I should be okay to go home in case I got pulled over a second time.
Well, you sound like one of those people you're just talking about a few minutes ago, yeah, where they're able to talk their way out of getting arrested. One of the ways, of course, is
That's the best way to do it.
Don't drink and drive.
Exactly. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with your calls from Miles L. Berman next.
Tom Likas.
What's up, Tom?
Tom Likas.
You're my boy, man.
800-500. Tom.
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 Tom!
The Tom Likas Show.
.1 SoCal's FM talk station. It's the Tom Likas Show. Thank you for tuning in. 1-800-5800-TOM is our telephone number. We are here with DUI attorney Miles L. Berman. And I promise not to ask what the L stands for.
And I won't tell you it stands for Lee.
Lee? Okay. I thought like it was lawyer.
Maybe. You know, it was a premonition. Maybe my folks had an idea when they named me. I'll have to ask him that one.
Let's take some calls from you at 1-800-5800-TOM. Let's start here this hour with Eddie on the Tom Likas Show from Miles Berman.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing okay, Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
Hi. Question. I drove to a checkpoint a few days ago, and in the city here in Montebello, and every car that they were pulling over, whether or not they were, you know, thinking the person was drunk driving, they were having everybody take a breathalyzer test. Is this something that we can refuse if they have no suspicions that we're drunk driving, or these new tactics that they're using just to narrow down or find people who are drunk driving?
Well, first of all, it sounds like you went through the checkpoint later on in the evening or the early mornings. Is that accurate?
Yeah, later on in the evening.
Yeah, because here's what happened to you. You have to understand that checkpoints are actually designed to be revenue raisers. These checkpoints are funded and oftentimes as multi-government task forces. And in order to have the checkpoint funded, they have to make arrests and they have to justify the checkpoint. So these things are done throughout the year. So they get money from the government. So in order to justify the checkpoint, they have to make arrests. Now, normally, a checkpoint cannot be for every car. It has to be for every third car, every fourth car, and that's still somehow makes a checkpoint reasonable, although I don't think checkpoints are reasonable anyway, but that's a separate issue. So what happened to you, by the time they got to maybe 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was that you went through, they didn't have enough people that they had arrested. So now they started to put the pressure on and stop every car, as you said, in order to find people to arrest for DUI. So eventually they get the numbers up and justify the checkpoint. As far as breath tests, no, they can't give you any kind of breath test without some type of reasonable suspicion. They can't just arbitrarily pull you over. But it sounds like what they did was they stuck a breath test machine in everybody's face. Is that what they were doing?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're not supposed to be able to do that. They're not supposed to do that. And those portable breath test machines are completely voluntary. You heard the show earlier where I was saying if you're older 21, refuse that test, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, you absolutely can refuse, and people should refuse. The question is, okay, you refuse. Now they're going to investigate you more because they have more suspicion. But then again, you know, you have the right, and you should exercise the right, not to give breath samples when you don't have to.
Okay. Now, if I would have refused, which I wasn't drinking, but they investigate you more.
Wait, let me restate that. Yeah, if you've had nothing to drink, take all the tests they give you. I mean, all the breath tests. Yeah, there's no problem with that one.
But if you refuse to take the breath test and you're sober, then they would do what? They would just...
You would hope that if they don't have enough evidence and aren't able to collect enough evidence that they wouldn't prosecute people. But they do. But, you know, if you're drinking and driving and your numbers are up there, you're going to get arrested anyway. So why give them the evidence?
Right. All right. Well, thanks for the information.
You're welcome.
Eddie, thank you. 1-800-5800-TOM. Derek, you're on 97.1, the FM talk station with Miles Berman. Hello.
Hello.
Is that a question or a statement, Derek?
I'm sorry. Hello, Tom. How's it going?
Pretty good.
I had a question. It's kind of similar to the other guys. I just want to know, you know, when it comes to checkpoints, because I work in Pasadena, and they do checkpoints not just for drunk driving, but they just do checkpoints to check driver's licenses and things like that. I mean, I was under the impression that in order to pull you over, they had to have some sort of, like, reasonable suspicion.
Yeah, you know, checkpoints started back in Michigan years ago for DUI cases. And eventually they were held to be legal. And governments all over and police agencies all over the country and all over the state took that and ran with that to have checkpoints for not just driver's licenses, but to make sure that cars are registered, to make sure that the seatbelts... people are wearing seatbelts to make sure that children who are supposed to be in car seats actually are in car seats. So it's all of this is used as a pretext to for the government to further erode and invade our rights and brand as many people as possible convicted criminals.
Yes, sir. But I was wondering, is there anything you can do to say, like, no, I don't want you to check me?
Yeah, you can. You have the right to refuse. Absolutely. You don't have to cooperate with the police officers. As a matter of fact, and again, if you're older than 21, if you're under 21 and they pull you over, you got to take the, you should take the portable breath test machine. It's a .01. It's zero tolerance, but the rules are different if you're under 21 versus you're older than 21. But yeah, people have a right to, refuse to cooperate with the police officer. I think so.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. And then, another thing I was wondering is when you get pulled over on the street, and the officer can't, like, immediately tell you why he pulled you over. I mean, can you just say, okay, you know, I'm leaving? That sort of thing? Like, if he can't...
That may raise some other issues. I mean, you got to use prudence and, you know, be smart about the situation.
Right.
But, you know, if the officer's not going to tell you why they pull you over, you know, I wouldn't push it. Again, assume that you're going to be tape recorded or videotaped or audio taped and always be polite and respectful, but you can be firm.
Of course. Okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Derek, thank you for the call. 1-800-5800-TOM. Here's Harry on the Tom Likas Show from Miles L. Berman. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. I actually was a client of Miles. Karen Wade helped me out years ago, about 2.5 years ago.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, I have to tell you, it is no joke. I mean, I didn't appreciate that officer calling in earlier talking about drinking and driving. It's wrong. I did it. I blew it. I totaled a $38,000 car. I spent the night in jail. I damn near lost my job. I work in law enforcement. I could have killed myself. I could have killed somebody else. It's horrible. It's not a joke. It's not cool. These guys who are drinking six packs and driving on the freeway, they have no respect for themselves or other people.
What's your first name again?
Harry.
Terry or Perry?
Harry.
Harry. Okay. All right, Harry. I'm sorry. I didn't hear. I just want to make, you know, for the record, you didn't know I was going to be on the show, and I didn't ask you to call, did I?
No, you did not.
Okay.
No, you and I go way back. You may recall it. I used to be a blood alcohol expert, actually, and testifying in court.
Oh, it's coming back to me now, Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah, good talking with you.
Yeah, the thing is, though, you know, I just went for expungement, and, you know, that's another fee you got to pay, too. I mean, the fees never really stop. There's insurance and legal fees and fines and expungement fees and, you know, plus, like you said, it may be on my record for life if they change the law.
All right, well, you know where we are, 888-4-TOP-GUN, if you need us in the future, Harry. Hopefully you won't.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. It's 1-800-5800-TOM. We'll continue here on 97.1, the FM talk station.
Tom Likas. 1-800-5800-TOM.
He's a wild man.
The Tom Likas Show.
From Hollywood, it's the Tom Likas Show. Stay tuned tonight at 8. Find out if Brian Whitman will call in sick tonight at 8 on 97.1, the FM talk station. Thank you for tuning in. You can only find out by tuning in at 8 o'clock tonight. Will he call in sick? Will he not? Will someone be filling in? You know, holiday season, you might have to do a little shopping. I need to take another night off.
I wish I could do his voice like he does mine.
I wish he'd get more time off than Johnny Carson. You know, I'd like to get his vacation deal or his personal day deal. It's amazing. I'll tell you what. I mean, Arsenio Hall has been on the air more than Brian Whitman lately. It's unbelievable. Unreal. That's a deal I want to get. Yes, 20 minutes away. We'll find out. Will he be here? Won't he be here? Every night. There's tension building as 8 o'clock approaches. You want 1-800-5800-TOM is our telephone number. We're here with Miles L. Berman, who is an attorney who specializes in DUI cases. If you've been accused of DUI, he's the guy you would want to call. And, of course, he's the guy you want to call if you've got a question about DUI right now during the holiday season. Lots of people get into trouble. Ed on the Tom Likas Show with Miles Berman. Hello. Ed?
Hey, Miles.
Hello, Ed.
Tom?
You busy over there, Ed? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm here. I was listening. I wasn't sure if I was...
Well, I said, Ed, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Did you hear me say that?
No, I think it cut out a second.
Well, it takes more than a second to say that, Ed. Yes.
Miles?
Yes, sir.
About 3 years ago, just over 3 years ago, I received my first and only DUI. I'd split a pitcher with a buddy of mine at a bar, and then I was pulling out of the bar. Right before I pulled out the parking lot, it was a really well-lit parking lot. I hadn't had my lights on. So I turned my lights right as I was about to pull out the parking lot. The cop drove by, saw me, turned my lights on, pulled me over. I did the whole hocus-pocus, song and dance, touch the nose thing. And I did pretty well, I think. But then when I blew into the first machine, it didn't register. So he called another officer to come over with a different machine. To blow into that one, I blew into that one, and it registered. I blew numbers, and they gave me a DUI, took me to jail the whole bit. But what I didn't realize until afterwards was they never submitted any of the results from the first machine that I blew into. Couldn't I have gotten off? if I would have questioned the fact that they didn't submit those results.
You know, it sounds like you didn't hire a lawyer to represent you. And am I correct?
I hired one. I spent over $1,000 on him, but he just said they had me and plead no contest. And he said it would cost a lot more money to take it to court.
Yeah, well, you know, God forbid it should happen again. You know, remember this number, 888-4-TOP-GUN, because that's not the way we operate. You know, it's so important that people get the right type of representation, especially with DUI cases. I know Tom is a big advocate to always have attorneys they're there to keep you out of trouble. But as far as with DUI goes, the consequences can be so severe. And in your particular case, you know, everything is relevant. And so whether or not they recorded the results, it's because you didn't pursue the case and take the case to trial, those issues didn't come out. But oftentimes, just because of who we are and because of our reputation and experience, clients don't necessarily have to go to trial, but because the prosecution knows and the courts know that we know what we're doing, and if there's a judgment call as to whether or not the case isn't strong enough at the trial stage, you know, oftentimes we get great results. But yes, you know, you need to fight the case. It's kind of late now to ask. You know, you just live and learn, and next time hopefully it won't happen, but if it does, at least you have the number.
1-800-5800-TOM is our telephone number. Let's say hello here to Scott on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Great.
Hey, I have a question. I'm turning 21. I'll be 21 next Wednesday, and we're getting a limo, going out drinking, and I was curious to find out how well those little personal breathalyzers that you get for like $30 on the internet, how well they work and how effective they are after you drink. How long does it take before it's accurate?
Well, since you're not going to be driving next Wednesday, by the way, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I wouldn't worry about getting... Huh?
Yeah, well, I won't be needing it next Wednesday, but it's kind of a concern of mine since I will be going out now, finally.
Yeah, there may be a good vague, I mean, some type of measurement as far as you know, what your alcohol level is, but it's certainly not going to you know, help get you out of a DUI. At least I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, let's say you have a couple of beers and then, you know, you blow on it, it says you're a 0.07, but then you get up on the road and, you know, your blood alcohol level, does it rise as as it digests?
A couple of beers would actually be a 0.04 if it's in your system at the time, but we've seen people who have a couple of beers and measure a 0.07. I have no reliability in any breath test device, either that you buy off the internet for accuracy. And the same thing with what the government uses. I just don't trust them. I've seen too many false high readings and too many readings all over the board for no apparent reason other than it's based on voodoo science.
Really, really. Okay, that's good to know.
Okay.
And my other question for Tom, do you have any recommendations where we should go? I'm calling from Yorba Linda. We're thinking of going to the Yard House. I don't know what clubs or what bars to go to.
Is there a Yard House in Yorba Linda? I know there's a bunch of...
No, we're going to be headed out to Newport.
Are you going out to Newport? I'm really not an OC guy, to be honest with you. I'm occasionally an OC, but not spent a lot of time at bars, so I can't tell you.
Okay. So no hot spots for an up-and-coming drinker?
Well... No, just don't get caught driving drunk is all I can say to you, okay?
Great. Well, you have a great evening.
Hey, you're smart to get a limo. Good luck.
All right, Scott. Thank you. 1-800-5800-TOM is our telephone number. Let's say hello to Tony on the Tom Likas Show for DUI attorney Miles Berman. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
And hello, Miles.
Hello, Tony.
You know, I got a DUI the weekend of Thanksgiving last year. And my question is, how do you not get in the situation of being arrested? Because once you're arrested, it's like you said, it's whatever the cops want to put on that report. When I read the report after I got bailed out of jail, it was like Steven Spielberg had written it. Lots of the things that they put on there, it didn't seem possible.
Did you have a lawyer represent you?
Yes, and I don't think he did a very good job because he screwed up the whole DMV hearing. I lost my license for a year.
On a first offense?
First offense.
And they got you as a refusal?
The cops put me down as a refusal. They had me in the hospital because they had sprayed me with mace. So to treat me for my injuries, they had me in the hospital. And you know, one of the cops stood in front of me and said, you have the right to a second chemical test. It could be either a breathalyzer or blood. And I told him, stop right there. I'll take your breathalyzer. One of the cops said, that's not an option. I go, what do you mean that's not an option? He just said, it's my right.
What did you pay your lawyer, if I may ask?
Well, with all the other things, $7,500, there's a retainer, and then all the other crap that came along with it, with the DMV hearings and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just really important to make sure that you do the research. I mean, you know, we have our website at TopGunDUI.com. We got lists of hundreds of successful DUI cases. I mean, I'm sure we've seen it all. There may be a type of a DUI case that could be invented that we haven't seen, but you've just got to know what you're doing, both in court and with the DMV. Example, you know, sorry that to use you as an example and that you went through it, but you got reports. Just because the officers write up the reports doesn't mean everything they wrote down is accurate. Oftentimes they write it later on when they get back to the station. They write it 2 or 3 days later. And then when they testify in court, they oftentimes can't remember what they even wrote in the report, which was written 2 or 3 days later after the arrest. So, you know, this is not an area of law that people want to mess around with.
Tony, thank you for the call. 1-800-5800-TOM is our telephone number. Let's say hello to R.M. R.M. on the Tom Likas show. Hello.
Hey, it's R.M. It's Armenian name. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I thought it was initials.
No.
Hello, R.M.
I have a question for Miles. Friend of mine got a DUI a couple months ago, and when they pulled her over, she was driving my car, actually, and then she gave all the sobriety tests, and she even blew in the breathalyzer, but apparently the breathalyzer wasn't working too well, but she had got fed up by then. So when they took her to jail, she refused to give any further tests. They held her in custody, and then they let her go. But my question is, I mean, well, a couple of things. They drove instead of towing my car, they drove my car, and they parked it like 2 blocks out. And then they let her out of jail, and now she has a court date in a couple of weeks. I want to know if she has a case.
Yeah, on that one, especially since she hasn't gone to court yet, definitely have her call the office at 888-4-TOP-GUN first thing in the morning, because it wouldn't be fair to give an opinion right now, because I don't know anything about, you know, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, we need to talk with her and get that kind of information directly from her.
All right, Aram, thank you for the call. 1-800-5800-TOM is our telephone number. Vanessa. You're on 97.1 SoCal's FM talk station with Miles L. Berman. Hello.
Hello. Tom, I love your show. And Miles, I've heard numerous commercials. And I've got to say, I feel really bad for all of the people that have made poor choices and have gone and driven while they're drunk and been pulled over. But my question pertains to marijuana. I used to work for a collective that's legal here in California. As you know, that proposition was just recently passed,
yep.
But it's still under regulations. It's under stuff. But anyway, we were advised, when we were given legal counsel, to when and if we're pulled over, if there was any sort of stench in the car, we're advised not to smoke in the car, of course. But if we were to be pulled over and the cop was going to question us and say, I think I smell marijuana, we were told to explain to the officer, I'm sorry, officer, I don't smell anything. And my question to you as an attorney is, is that a suitable response, or does that lead to more problems?
If a cop pulls you over and he smells the odor of marijuana in the car, it's automatically problems. I mean, there's nothing you can say that could take away the odor that the officer is going to smell.
Well, let's throw in the scenario that there was absolutely no paraphernalia in the car. There's no actual pot in the car. You had somebody that was riding shotgun with you that has already left the vehicle with that substance on them, but the smell is still there.
Okay, but it doesn't change the fact that the odor is there, and that's enough for the officer to investigate further. But you raise an interesting point that I really haven't addressed yet. When somebody gets arrested for DUI, and if it's alcohol, the DMV will attack the license. But believe it or not, if it's drugs, the DMV won't take the license, unless the officer thinks that drugs are involved and a person refuses a blood or a urine test. Mm-hmm. But the DMV doesn't generally go after a driver's license when it's a DUI drugs.
But then if it's drugs, they can prosecute for criminals.
Well, again, if somebody gets arrested for DUI, it could be alcohol or drugs, including marijuana. So, you know, it's not something that you can get around just by saying, well, I don't smell anything.
So then from the step of knowing that you don't have anything like that that relates to marijuana in the car, and the cop suspects because of his suspicion of a smell that he smells but not necessarily you as the driver do, and you deny any sort of relating to him on that.
Well, there's nothing against the law, that, you know, driving with the odor of marijuana in your car. It's just what that may lead the officer to do.
888-4-TOP-GUN is the number to call. Miles L. Berman. Miles, always good to see you. Thank you.
Always good to be here. Thanks, Tom.
The Tom Likas Show.